This week, we have, as a nation, a big choice to make, and people are choosing. And it's quite a contrast, very distinct choice between, it's presented as two options, although I chose a third option, but anyway. Sometimes there are choices that we have that seem, that are very, very distinct. And for the longest time, I didn't know what on earth I was going to preach about today. And I had no idea why I could not come up with a message that seemed like what God wanted me to say. And for some reason, I don't know why this is. Maybe there's someone here today that needs to hear this. I don't know. But I was reminded that there is a choice that is presented to us in the Bible. A choice between life and death. And Jesus also said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And not only that, he said he came that we may have life and have life more abundantly. And those messages, those verses just kept haunting me. Are those verses new to anybody? Anyone never heard that before? And so I thought, well, you know, what is there to preach on? Everyone's heard this before. Everyone has heard this before. What is it you want me to say, Lord? And he said, look at it. Look at what the scripture says. Look at what the Bible actually says. So I did that. First of all, I'm going to be speaking about the passage that has the phrase, choose life. I'm going to be starting in Deuteronomy chapter 30. And we're going to start at verse 15. While you're looking that up, Deuteronomy 30, starting at verse 15. I noticed something about this passage. It's actually in the middle of a very long discourse that starts several chapters earlier. And I kept going backwards looking for this whole discourse start? What was the context? What was the point? Why was this being stated? And several chapters back, I realized this was part of what Moses was saying to the people of Israel after they had entered their new land of Israel. They'd been delivered from Egypt, and God had brought them into the land of Israel. And Moses was reiterating to everyone, let's commit ourselves to the law of God. God gave us this law back when we started this journey from Egypt, and here we have arrived at our destination. Let's not forget the law of God. And one of my favorite, pieces of trivia in the Bible is that Moses, back several chapters earlier than this, he had somebody go on, they were kind of in a valley between two mountains. One mountain was Mount Gerizim. One mountain was Mount Ebal. And on Mount Gerizim, he had somebody go up the mountain and then read all the blessings that would happen to people if they obeyed the law of God. Here are all the blessings. Over here on the other mountain, Mount Ebal, he had some other people on that mountain reading all the curses that would happen if you disobey this law. Mount Gerizim, Mount Ebal. People remembered that. People remembered that Mount Gerizim was where the blessings from the law were read. And in fact, the Samaritans, even though they had abandoned a lot of what God had said, they still remembered that. And remember when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, and she said, well, you people worship in Jerusalem, and we worship on this mountain. You know what mountain that was? That was Mount Gerizim, the place where the blessings were read from. They knew that was a holy place. That's what they wanted. One piece of trivia that always intrigued me. Those two mountains, Mount Ebal was taller than Mount Gerizim. Mount Ebal was taller. So you know what the Samaritans did? They went up to Mount Ebal and chopped it down so that it was now shorter than Mount Gerizim. But this is where these words here in Deuteronomy were spoken in between Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. Verse 15, so I set before you today life and prosperity, Mount Gerizim, death and destruction, Mount Ebal. For I command you today to love the Lord your God and to walk in obedience to him and keep his commandments, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, we'll go over to Mount Ebal, and you are drawn away and bow to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, and listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The choice Israel had, as strongly as Moses could possibly have stated it, you have a choice. Choose death by disobeying the law of God, or choose life by obeying the law of God. Please don't forget this, he was screaming. Don't forget this. We know from history that followed this, we know that the ultimate choice altogether was that they chose to disobey God. And they did suffer the consequences. They were destroyed as a nation. God brought them back again after after exile in Babylon. But they had a choice. Please don't forget this choice, Moses was saying. You know, one thing that I remember, the first time I think I read through the Bible, I got to the book of Judges. Anyone ever read through the book of Judges? You try it sometime and see if you had the same impression I had. Book of Judges talked about the land of Israel. They sort of were starting to disobey God, and then God would bring an oppressor. Sometimes it was the Midianites, sometimes it was the Philistines, sometimes it was this country or that country, and then God would raise up a judge and then deliver them, and then the judge would say, let's get back to worshiping God the way God had brought us to do, and everything seems great, and then the whole thing happened all over again. Time and time and time and time again. There's one verse in the book of Judges that stands out to me. Book of Judges said, in those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. That sounds like a bad thing, doesn't it? Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. When we do what is right in our own eyes, I think the book of Judges happens over and over and over again. Even though we are reminded time and time again, choose life. Obey God. Instead of choosing death by choosing to disobey God. But it happens anyway. So, the children of Israel said, we don't like living like this anymore. We need a king. We need a king. That's the solution. You see, when there is no king, everyone does what is right in their own eyes. That's a problem, right? So let's have a king. My question is, how does that solve that? Now everyone does what is right in God's eyes? No, everyone does what's right in the king's eyes. And as we know from history, that king was not always right with God. And once again, the nation of Israel had time and time again when they were oppressed, and because the king, whom everyone was following, would choose to either obey God or not obey God. In fact, that was only in the southern kingdom. In the northern kingdom, every single king chose not to obey God. That was not the solution either. The solution was not to have a king. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. We start off choosing life, choosing to obey God, and somehow we end up choosing death and destruction over and over and over and over again. This passage here, you can't read it without saying, we've got to commit ourselves to obeying the law of God. And that feels like, well, you know something? That is absolutely a good thing. It's absolutely a good thing when when we commit ourselves to obeying the law of God. After the Babylonian captivity, God brought everyone back to Israel. There was a core group of people that said, "We have learned our lesson. We will now commit to following the law of God. We are going to do it no matter what." Even then, there were some people that weren't quite as fanatical about obeying the law of God. But there was a core group of people who were. They were determined to obey the law of God, to study the law of God, and obey it to the T. Those people were called the Pharisees. Which brings me to the next passage, which is in John chapter 10. And God's, God was saying, "Hey, look at the context here. What is the context where Jesus says, I've come to give you life and to give you life more abundantly? What is it he's actually talking about?" So I looked at the context. John chapter 10 follows chapter 9. What had happened in chapter 9 is Jesus had just healed a man who was born blind. This man didn't even know who Jesus was. But everyone knew him as a blind beggar. He was well known for being blind. And Jesus healed him. I believe it was on the Sabbath. The Pharisees, who were committed to following the law of God, they had listened to Deuteronomy, choose life by obeying the law of God. They knew that you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. You're not supposed to. I don't care how good you think you are. And Jesus kind of, after that whole thing, there's one verse in the end of chapter 9 that really got my attention this week. Jesus had healed the blind man. The Pharisees didn't like it. They confronted him, and Jesus said, Jesus ended up saying, "You know what? I came so that the blind can see, and that those who think they see will become blind." And the Pharisees knew what he was saying, because he said, are we blind? They knew exactly what he was saying. Are we blind? What are you talking about? That's when we start here in chapter 10. That's the context. Jesus was talking to and about the Pharisees, who were committed to following the law of God. Verse 1, John chapter 10. "Verily I tell you, Pharisees," look at who this is directed to. "I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice." He is talking to the Pharisees. By the way, one of the things the Pharisees really did not like about Jesus is that everyone was following him. And they could not understand what on earth this guy, in fact, he'd do stuff like talk with sinners and sit down and meal with them and let a woman with a very bad reputation sit at his feet and weep and wipe his feet with her hair. What is this guy doing? Doesn't he realize what kind of people he is endorsing? This is who Jesus is talking to. Jesus used a figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Anyone who enters through me will be saved. They will come in and they will go out, they will find pasture." The thief, who's the thief here? Someone who doesn't come in through him, but who wants those sheep, like the Pharisees. "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly." Obeying the law of God, the promise was, if you obey the law of God, you will have life. But people who were extremely committed to obeying the law of God somehow missed it. They ended up being the thieves and the robbers. And Jesus came that the sheep may have not only life, but have it more abundantly. You see, what Jesus came to do was to fulfill the law. What Jesus came to do was not to condemn the world, but to save it. What Jesus came to do was not to celebrate life with the righteous, but he came to give life to the sinners. Very different. It's not that the law of God was bad. The problem was nobody ever fulfilled it. Nobody ever fulfilled it. Individuals thought they were. The Pharisees thought they were the righteous ones. The Pharisees believed they had the insight into God's law. They believed they had sight into what God really wanted, but they actually were the blind ones. Jesus came so that those who think they see would be blind, but those who were blind may have sight. Jesus came for us to have life, and to have life more abundantly than we could possibly have trying to obey the law to the perfection. Yes, we can have that life that way if we're successful. But for those who aren't successful in obeying the law of God, Jesus came so that we may have life and have it more abundantly. I don't know who needed to hear that message today. Maybe I needed to hear that message today. Maybe that's really what it's about. Maybe it really didn't touch anybody else in this room or whoever's going to listen to the MP3 when we put it on the website. But I know I need to hear it. Ephesians 2 says we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. This is the message we have. I think there are people hungry for this. They've experienced Pharisees pointing out all the places that they are wrong and how poorly they are doing at obeying the law of God. There are a lot of people who have heard that and are hearing it. And it's not that that's a wrong message. It's absolutely true. If we choose to obey God's law, if we choose life, we will have that life. But there are so many people that are so discouraged because, I know I didn't do that. I know I'm not doing it. I know I can't do that. This is the message we have for them. That Jesus came that we may have life, and life more abundantly. Let's pass that message on. Let's pass that message on to people we meet this coming week. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're grateful for